With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. Oh, I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open God's eternal word and study the word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter number 26. And I want to begin a message today and preach throughout the days of this week on the subject dealing with contention. And we're going to look at the Word of God on how we are to handle the strife and the contention that comes into our life as children of God. Now, it would be wonderful if there never was any divisive situations that arose in our lives. But there are areas where there's disagreement and things happen that we do not understand and that we do not want to happen, but we must learn to deal with them in the light of the Word of God. And my prayer is that God will enable us through the study of the Word of God to understand biblical principles for dealing with division and strife as we look at the Word of God in the days of this week. In Genesis chapter number 26, I began reading at verse number 17. The Bible said, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and they strove for that well also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" As I said, I want to deal with the thought of dealing with contention and strife and division that comes into our lives. And again, I wish it were not so. I wish it never happened, but it does, and we must learn to either deal with these or to divide ourselves until we can become isolated. And I remind you that united, we're stronger than we are divided. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm fixing to say. There are some things that are worth fighting for, standing for, living for, and if necessary, dying for. And we should never be a compromiser to the truths and the doctrines of the Word of God. If it means contentious, then we ought to be contentious. We ought to stand. We ought to fight. We ought to be strong in the principles that are laid down in the Word of God. You remember Jude as he starts to write his epistle. He said in verse number 3 that he felt it was needful that he write unto them concerning the common salvation and encourage them that they contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And so there are things that we do fight for, we stand for, regardless of the price that we have to pay. But having said that, my burden is this. We are in such a divisive generation, even among God's people, and there's this little split and splinter, and if you go with him, you cannot go with me. And I don't preach for this crowd, and I don't run with that crowd, and I don't like what that fellow's done, and I don't like what this one's done. And contention and strife and division have become a way of life in our independent Baptist churches. I know it's true in others, but I'm dealing with my own circles today. But I want us to look now at this scripture and watch Isaac, and above that, watch God as he, through Isaac, teaches us how to deal with contention. But before I deal with Isaac, let's look at a couple of things in the Word of God that I believe the Lord wants us to see to begin the series. Let me say to you that contention is like a spider web. What do you mean by that, preacher? It catches many innocent victims in the midst of it. Many who were not a part of the original strife become involved. I've seen it so many times in my life. It not only involves the person who is involved in the contention, but it will bring his family, and then he'll bring his friends, and it just keeps bringing in innocent people. And often the innocent suffer because of the guilt of another. And I want to point that out in the Word of God before I come to deal with Isaac. Notice, if you will, in verse number 18, the Bible said, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their name after the name by which his father had called them." As I was studying the wells that are there in Abraham's life, I came across a well back over in Genesis chapter number 16. And I want to turn back there because there's such a lesson that we learn from this well in Genesis chapter number 16. We began at the first of the chapter, and we'll build our way down to it as the Holy Ghost directs us to do so. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, let me inform you. And if you are familiar, let me remind you that God, in Genesis chapter number 12, has called out Abraham. And he has made what we know as the Abrahamic covenant with him. He has made a promise to him that he will give him a people and a possession, a land that will be his forever. It is going to multiply that seed, his people, as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. And yet, Abraham now is getting to be an old man, and he has no children born unto him. And so he and his wife Sarah come up with an idea that they're going to help God fulfill his promise. May I just stop a moment and interject this thought as I go by this place in the study? You better be careful when you get the idea that you can help God in his plan for our lives. So let's pick up the reading in Genesis chapter number 16. And I'm just going to do a running commentary as I go down through here and show you this well and show you contention and how it involves not only the guilty, but it brings the innocent in as the victim of the contention and strife and wrong of others. The Bible said in Genesis 16, in verse number 1, the Word of God said, "Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face." Now, very interesting story, but I want us to look at it and let God speak to our heart. Again, very plain, very simple. Here is Abram and his wife. They cannot have any children. God has promised them a seed, and it looks as though they could not have them because they're now getting beyond the age of reproduction. And so they come up with this idea that they're going to let the handmaid Hagar become Abram's wife. She is to conceive, if possible, and bear a child. And so she gives Hagar unto her husband. Hagar conceives, and when she realizes she's with child, then Sarah becomes despised in the eyes of Hagar. And so in verse number 5, the Bible said, "And Sarah said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee." Now, wait a minute. Let's look for just a moment. Here's a woman who conceives this idea, shares it with her husband, and he goes along with her. One of the great causes of contention is people do not want to bear the blame and the responsibility of their decisions, their deeds. And that is exactly what's going on in the life of Sarah. And so she said in verse number 5 to her husband, "My wrong be upon thee." It is so easy to blame someone else for our wrongdoings. Here we are. Abraham seems innocent until he yields unto her idea. And now then he is being blamed for what's happened. Sarah admits it was her wrong, but she's wanting to blame him for her wrong. "My wrong be upon thee." And then she tells what happened. "I've given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee." What a statement. What a foolish statement when you analyze it in the life of the Word of God. But then notice now in verse number 6. The Bible said, "But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face." Now here we bring in an innocent victim into this picture. Sarai, being the handmaid, did as it was told her to do by her mistress and her master. She becomes the wife of Abram. She conceives a child. The plan goes like they had wanted it to. But now then, the table turns after the conception takes place. And here, Sarah has said to Abraham, "My wrong be upon thee." And it's like Abraham said, "Don't take your spite out on me. Take it out on her. Do with her whatever pleaseth thee." And so Sarah began to deal hardly with Hagar. And she deals so harsh and hard with her that finally Hagar flees from her face. Notice the Bible said in verse number 7, she goes into the wilderness and hides there. She does not know what to do. She is the victim of contention and strife in other people's life. She is the innocent bystander, but yet she is drawn into this net. And this so often happens when there's contention and strife among someone. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.